But yeah, I fucking love love. I love talking about love, writing about love. I think about love every fucking day.
Hell yeah.
Like, love is the best. And when I'm in love, I'm my best self.
Zani. Tani. Tani. Charlie, are you... Are you up?
Hey.
Yeah, you up.
Today we have our friend Charlie in to talk about her stories of heartbreak and love.
And that's nice.
It's very, very interesting how I met Charlie. It's actually very funny.
It better be funny because I actually don't know how you guys met.
Yeah.
They refused to tell me.
It's very dirty.
Oh, okay. Give it to me. Give it to me.
We met on the streets, so
that's literally what he said. So, he was like, yeah. I have a guest for Zani.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, where did you meet this person?
Like, yeah,
from the streets.
Yeah, we met on the streets.
Okay.
And the way we met was we were coming back from a party pretty late, around 2 a.m and we were talking about the NBA finals and the Raptors. And then Charlie, who was actually walking in front of us, suddenly stops, turns around, is just like, are you guys from Toronto? And we're like, what?
Is that what I sound like? Like, so well, that's, sassy.
But that's exactly what you said. You're like, are you guys from Toronto? Like, she didn't even say hi. She didn't say hey. Like, she just turns around and is like, are you guys from Toronto? I'm like, yes. And she's like, oh, me too. And we're like, okay, she like some crazy girl or is she pretty chill? So this was actually right in front of my house. And Charlie happens to live literally like the next building over from
me.
What? Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
That's crazy.
And
so it just means that all you Canadians, like, you guys...
We settle in the cool hoods.
Just kidding.
We settle in the cool hoods.
The cool hoods, whatever.
And so there's also this 감자탕집, you know, pork bone soup restaurant.
Like nearby?
Yeah, right in front of our house. I'm like,
let me guess, the 24 hours.
Yeah, it's definitely 24 hours. And we're like, do you want to just have some pork bone soup, you know, for like a late night snack? And so the three of us went and just, yeah, that's how we became friends.
That's actually so funny.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Wait, so were you drunk at the time? You just
I
turned
so
around and you were
fucking
like,
drunk.
Oh my God, are you guys kidding?
I would not have the balls to do that if I was not intoxicated.
Yeah, so that was pretty funny.
Well,
and yeah, through that meeting, I found out that it actually hasn't been long since Charlie came to Korea, moved to Korea. So do you want to maybe tell us about where you're from and what you're doing?
Yeah,
yeah, so what's your story?
I'm from Toronto. I moved here like 6 months ago just with a one-way flight ticket. Don't know how long I'm going to stay here for, but I found a job and like a routine. So for the time being, I'm just working and having a good time. Yeah.
Wait, so what do you do?
I work at this tattoo place, like not real tattoos, temporary tattoos. And I do, like, since it's a startup, you know, everyone wears multiple hats. I do a lot of content creation, social media, marketing, like web design, just random shit.
Just everything. Yeah. A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And you worked at a like a instant tattoo place.
Yeah. In
before.
Canada. Yeah.
So that's like very like imagine how stoked this company in Korea was when it's like, oh, my God, this girl has actually worked at an instant tattoo company.
Yeah.
Before.
I actually have like a really crazy story about that. But that's like not related to this.
No, I'm kind of curious.
OK, yeah.
Really? It's going to take up a lot of time. OK. OK. Basically,
no. In two sentences.
In two. OK. I met a friend. We hung out, we went to the bar, he brought his Tinder date, who happened to be the girl who hired me.
What?
And
now
when
that's
I,
funny.
Yeah, when we went to the bar, I when as soon as she sat down, I had to leave. So we just kind of like grazed each other, like we looked at each other. And then I go in for the interview and she's like, have I seen you before?
No.
And like,
that's crazy.
It didn't occur to me. But then she was like, hey, are you friends with this blank, insert blank? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, I met you. And the crazy part is that when we were at the bar and I was gone because I left, she was telling my friend that she worked at this company and she's looking for this person to hire. She listed all the qualities. And then my friend said, oh, the girl who left, she actually like does all of that stuff. But he never connected us together.
That's so weird. That's a bad friend. Just kidding.
Oh, because like they didn't end well. They were like a Tinder
thing. Oh, I forget they were a Tinder
thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
but it was small like world. Fucking like the stars aligned and like just crazy.
That's actually insane. I yeah, think right? Is that just the kind of energy you bring? Because even the way you and Shin met, it's like
yeah,
you are manifesting a lot of all these connections.
These things, like you are just manifesting aligned. Them. Yeah, ever since I got to Korea, like everything's just aligned and like fell into place.
Damn,
in that
that's
nature.
Awesome! And now you're here.
Yeah, hey,
the universe what's up? Is guiding you.
Yeah.
So you're also Canadian-Korean,
yeah.
right? But it's kind of like your first time long-term living in Korea.
Yeah, like I visited a couple of times, but it's like the first time I'm actually, you know, living.
Wait, what made you just come here? Like,
there were a lot of reasons, but basically like, you know, I've grown up with people, I've grown up with all my friends that are currently in Toronto. And when they have like an expectation of a certain identity for you, it's like so awkward to, even though you're changing internally, like it's so awkward to behave in a different way. Or do you know what I mean? Because they have these preconceived notions of who you are.
Because mm-hmm. they grew up with you?
Yeah, you okay. can't, it's yeah. hard for you to change.
Oh, okay,
so
I get it.
So when I came to Korea, right. nobody knows me, so I can...
It's a blank slate.
Yeah, be any identity I want to, and I can, you know.
So I guess you were feeling kind of stuffy being in the neighborhood and being around the social group that you grew up with because
yeah.
it's really hard to kind of redefine yourself yeah. or start afresh.
Like, I love them. I love them so much, but I just needed to see
Shout
who I was.
Shout out to Charlie's friends. They were not dissing you, but she...
Yeah, I fucking love them, but, you know, I just needed to see who I was.
Which actually relates, leads to my next question. You are kind of, you've journeyed to Korea with a one-way ticket, kind of mm-hmm. wanting to start afresh, blank
yeah.
slate, and rediscover yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware that you are now single.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been the first time you've been single for a while.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Wait, are you also a serial monogamous?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, not by choice, but...
It just happens.
Yeah. So I've been dating for, like, 9 years now.
Oh, my God. Me too.
Yeah, like cumulatively.
Just one release.
No.
Oh holy. My God, wait, how many?
I don't even know.
She doesn't have
like maybe
fingers.
6 or 7.
Oh, okay. Because I had like 3 relationships yeah. that amounted to 9 years.
Oh my God.
I know, but go ahead.
Crazy.
It's about you.
But anyways, yeah. So before I left, I was seeing somebody. And just up until like maybe 3 months ago, yeah, mm-hmm. we stopped seeing each other.
Oh, so you were actually still dating him.
Oh, yeah, when I moved
when
here.
When you moved
yeah.
here.
We were trying to make it work, yeah.
So when did you decide or realize that it's not going to work out?
Well, this relationship was different than the rest of mine where we were super independent. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of my previous ones, like, our identities mended together, but with this one, we were, like, two very individualistic people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came to Korea, like, I felt like I was just, like, having so much fun, like, living that it... felt hard to like fit him
into that
and find space for him and vice versa,
like especially because it was long distance, you mean?
Yeah And like we didn't fight at all. Like I'm not a fighting type person. I never fight with my people my like lovers, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just like drifted.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it wasn't that hard though when you broke up, or
yeah
it was kind of natural.
Yeah.
I feel like you must have known it would happen when you as you bought a one-way ticket.
Yeah. Oh my God, I hate to say this is why my name is Charlie. I hate to say this, but like when I look back at this relationship, like the day we left, I mean the day I left, like I was so heartbroken and sad. But now that I'm out of it, I look back at it and I realize that this was a self-sabotage, because everything was going so well on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Like on paper he was perfect, like he's mm-hmm. everything I ever wanted. But
uh-huh.
something wasn't there, like something was missing.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no way for me to get out of it.
Oh, I see.
And
what
so
I,
this
so you think part
ticket,
of you
yeah
oh,
I know that's
shit.
Fucking evil.
No,
like,
that's not evil. My cousin went through the
yeah.
same thing, and sometimes you really feel like you don't have a legitimate excuse to break up
yeah
with someone.
And I think, oh my God, like I didn't know that was a thing. Like it took so much like thinking and reflecting after the relationship for me to recognize it as like a self-sabotage.
Wait,
thing.
How long were you with him?
A year.
Okay, because I was with a guy
yeah.
in that kind of relationship for 3 years. That's
yeah.
what happens when you can't find your excuse to leave.
Exactly. And now I realize, like, that's why a lot of people cheat, too. It's, like, self-sabotage. Because they feel like they need an excuse to leave. Because anything else is not understandable. And I guess we humans feel like they need a reason. I mean, but not feeling it is just as valid as a reason. But
did you guys openly communicate about, I don't know, just whatever you were going through?
Yeah, we did. Like, we were the best communicators. But I couldn't talk about this because I wasn't even aware of it. Like, I didn't even have the awareness of it.
Mm-hmm. But you cared for him, but just in a different way.
I cared for him, and I thought I loved him. And I still think I did love him. But, no, there's, like, I'm still trying to process, like, what was missing from it. Yeah.
Maybe it is the fact that you were in Toronto, and it's like, yeah, this guy is on paper perfect, but am I really going to take the risk and gamble with this person without leaving? And trying to find myself in a different environment.
It also has to do with the fact that I was just in so many different relationships. I think that always, and I knew I needed to be single even before seeing him. I knew I needed to be single, but I didn't take that for myself.
But then you like got in a relationship.
Yep.
So how do you feel now being single? So how long have you been single? So 3 months now?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, 3 months.
Are there any times when you feel lonely?
Yeah, yesterday I was so lonely. I like cried so hard.
Damn.
But it's because I haven't felt loneliness like this in a really long time, because I was always in a relationship. Like, I just felt it and I like indulged in it, because I know that when I find my next person, I'll like appreciate it so much more, because I felt the depth of loneliness that I have. Yeah.
That's crazy. So it's like you were like, not, there was no like particular event that made you cry, but just that loneliness.
It's just a pit of loneliness. Because I feel like it's worse for you because you moved to this brand new city with no support system, pretty much. And then you've never really been single, and now you are. So I can imagine that the loneliness you feel is like next level.
Yeah, it was something that I'm not familiar with. And I'm like navigating these new emotions, but I'm also enjoying it. Mm-hmm. It's like so weird. Like, I'm lonely, but I love it. Yeah.
You're lonely, but you love it.
Yeah. Because I know it's temporary. Like,
That's very mature. It's very brave as well.
Thank you.
I feel like, especially because not a lot of people would even admit that to themselves even.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you're saying, oh, I'm like sad right now because I'm lonely.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, you know, we all go through mood swings. You have phases where like, why am I crying for no reason? Does that happen to other people?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, for you, you were having one of those moments, but you actually knew, okay, I'm crying right now because I'm lonely. Because I've had moments where I'm like, I don't even know why I'm crying. But it's just like, I'm having a dramatic moment. And like you, I try to enjoy it. I'm like, I'm going to ride this wave.
You're going to feel the feels.
You're going to feel all the feels.
What was the thing that you said to me, Hashmal, one day about like feeling the feels? Like you had this like term. Like,
did I?
Yeah. Like you told me to like feel my feels or something.
Did I?
Yeah. Something like that. Anyways.
I drop all these like
words
nuggets
of wisdom
here and there, and I can never remember it.
She's drunk half the time when she's handing them out. So
half true.
I guess right now you're at a stage of, how do I say it? Like, you are very self-aware right now. And I think to get to that stage of self-awareness, you know, you have to have experiences, and not all of those experiences are going to be pleasant. So maybe can you share an example of maybe like a heartbreak that helped you get to where you are in terms of self-realization?
Yeah, of course. This was like my first serious relationship where honestly I knew we were going to get married. And I say knew instead of thought, because it was the truth.
You were sure.
Yeah, I was sure with like every particle in me. And like our parents were friends, and like I came to Korea with him. It was a very short-lived relationship. It was 1 year, but it was like
it's quite long for my standards.
That's like short for my standards. So
it's like quite short. Yeah. 1 year. I'm like, what does that make me?
But I was also 18, so I was very young.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was like a transitional relationship where we went from high school to university. So that's like a big transition. And he cheated on me.
Oh, shit. Damn. Wait, was it with someone in your same friend group?
Oh, no, no, no. He made a new friend group. This friend group had two guys, two girls, him being one of the guys. And
don't tell me they, like, paired up.
Oh, no.
Oh, it wasn't even bad.
It's worse. So he was fucking one of them. Uh-huh. But he was like, physically cheating with one of them on me. And then he was emotionally cheating with the other.
What
the fuck? Like, flirting and dating and things like that.
Yeah, and then so as soon as, like, I obviously, like, felt it. Because when you know someone so well, you can tell, like, there's a shift.
But did you also get that women's intuition thing where it's like...
They know.
You had a gut feeling, one or both of those girls, there was something going on?
Yeah, it was gut feeling, but also he left his Facebook open. And, like, I know I shouldn't have looked at the messages, but it was just, you know, it made that ding sound, and I opened it, and then there were, like, these, like, messages. And so, like, that was just evidence to what I already fucking felt.
That is hard.
So what did you do? Did you, like, screenshot it? Like, did you print them out?
No, I just confronted him, and he said, no, like... Because she was Korean, he was Korean, and he was telling me that Koreans, the way they talk is different. Like, it sounds like it's flirting, but it's actually just the way Koreans talk.
That is a load of bullshit.
And I didn't know at the time, like, you know, so I was like, okay.
And also, you want to believe
him. Exactly, I want to believe him.
And you're 18,
I don't know jack shit. So I just went with it. Everyone around me knew that he was, like, cheating on me. It was a really fucked up story. Like, should I get into this?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, okay, so.
That's why we're here.
Details.
Yeah.
In first year, I was living with two of my best friends.
Uh-huh.
And I'll give her a name.
Sandra.
Sandra. Okay, Sandra had a boyfriend named...
John.
John was my ex's best friend.
Uh-huh.
So my ex told everything to John, like, everything that was going on, even that... fact that he was cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously John is dating Sandra, so John told Sandra. So Sandra knew, and Sandra is, like, my best friend and my roommate. But John told Sandra, if you tell Charlie, I'm gonna break up with you. They had, like, a fucked up dynamic too, so
what
they everybody knew. And I felt so betrayed by the end of it, because, like,
of course your own best friend / roommate.
Yeah, so,
and were you telling Sandra this whole time, like,
yes,
yo, I think my boyfriend's cheating on me?
Yeah, and she never told me.
That is so fucked up.
It was like,
are you still friends with her?
Yeah, we're, like, still best friends.
Okay, well, I, like, guess forgive and forget.
Yeah,
actually, no, you forgive but you never forget.
Yeah, but I'm like so over it. Like, her boyfriend, love, was on the line, so, like, I don't know what
I mean, she was probably young, too, so I don't really blame her. We were all kind of retarded at that age.
Yeah, like, nobody knows how to navigate this shit, you know? Like, so anyways,
So how did you get over that?
How did I get over
that? With a new relationship, obviously.
Yeah. Basically.
And rebound.
Yeah, at that time, the feelings were so true for the new guy, but he just was not the right person. And we dated for, like, 3 months, and then I just couldn't. But after that, like, I dated, like, person after person, and I don't know why. Like, do you know why, like, you were in a serial monogamous type deal?
I don't know. I thought about this a lot.
Yeah.
Because I think... it made me realize at some point, like, especially after I moved to Korea. And the funny thing is, all of my relationships were long distance.
Oh.
Either a different city or a different state or different motherfucking country.
Yeah.
And I realized, because anybody that meets me, they're like, oh, Hush Mama's so independent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I get shit done. I have, like, several groups of friends, and I'm just super outgoing and social, so I need my space,
right?
And I don't know, I still wonder, was it all a coincidence that they were all long distance, or did I subconsciously wanna date guys who were kind of away from me so I could still do everything that I wanted to do? And by do everything that I want to do, I mean, like,
side hustles.
Well, yeah,
on the street.
What the fuck?
I'm just kidding.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, I don't know. And right now, I'm in a relationship where for the first time, I'm in the same city,
and
it made me realize, like, yo, like, you have to meet them pretty frequently, and I actually have to sacrifice meeting friends,
stuff like that.
But I don't know. I still think about that. I mean, I could really get into it, but I feel like we can't right now. But
yeah.
I think you were also going through that thing where it's like, But some people also get over people with other people. Does that make sense? Just rebounding.
Yeah.
But at the same time, rebounding is definitely very effective in temporarily, you know, helping out with your feelings and your thoughts. But I think if you don't have time to yourself after a relationship, that kind of period of self-reflection that you need, it doesn't just disappear. Like, it stays in the back burner. And one day or another, you're going to have to go through that period. And if you go through one relationship to another and another without that period, that period of self-realization that you need is just going to be that much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Actually, like, I agree and disagree. Like, I feel like depending on who the person is that you meet, they can even help you see things for yourself that you wouldn't be able to on your own.
Yeah, I agree.
Back to this first relationship, like, the greatest lesson I learned was, this is like, everybody says this shit, that you need to love yourself mm-hmm. before you love someone else.
Yeah, thank you, next.
But okay, why do you, like, does that resonate with you guys? That
yeah.
sentiment? Like, but why, like, what's the reason for that?
I think it has a lot to do with, you know, security.
I think it has to do with that phrase. I always say it wrong, but it's like, you seek the love that you think you deserve. I'm not saying it correctly, but it's basically like, if my self-worth is kind of low, I'm going to take shit from other people. Like, a guy is going to treat me like shit, and I'm going to be like, well, I deserved that, or some, you know, you don't think you can do better,
right,
or you
right.
don't think you deserve more love. And actually, a lot of people are like, oh, hush mama, you date such really, like, guys that are so sweet and so good to you. And that's because I dated a fucking psycho motherfucker in high school and he put me through so much shit, and I'm actually pretty thankful to him because I started dating him when I was 14 and we dated for over 3 years, and that actually turned me into the person that I am today, where I will not take shit from any guy.
I like, feel the same way.
Like, since then, I've only ever dated and met guys and, like, gave my time to guys that treated me with respect and treated me, like, really nicely. And I think, and that's what I preach to all of my girlfriends who are in toxic relationships, and even guy friends. But it's just like, you need to love yourself and think more highly of yourself, because clearly you don't, if you're gonna let this guy or girl talk to you like this or treat you like this.
Yeah, like, but I also feel like the friends that are going through that shit, like, they need to go through it.
Yeah, you need to go
through
it.
Which sucks. You just have to watch them, like, get emotionally manipulated.
Yeah.
But they need to go through that.
Like, gaslighting. Now that's some serious shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, what's really important about loving yourself is, if you really do love yourself, that means you accept yourself, both the perfect and the imperfect. And so if you are able to love your imperfect self, that means you're very, very self-aware of what you're good at, and maybe, like, a lot of your problems as well. And when you have that self-realization, and when you are able to love that self-aware person, then you are able to, I think, have a very healthy relationship with your partner in terms of, hey, these are my strengths and these are my weaknesses. I know about my weaknesses. I'm not insecure about my weaknesses, and I want to work on these with you. So, I think loving yourself has a lot to do with self-realization as well, and loving your imperfect self.
Yeah, very true.
So it sounds like you're kind of getting to that level right now.
I think after that, like, that guy who cheated on me, like, everyone I dated afterwards, they were, like, really great people, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said, you kind of need to go through that.
Yep.
I have a question for both of you guys then. Yes, you can meet a lot of great people. One after the other, you know. I would say that most of the people that I've met were great. But for me, there's, like, a weight on my shoulders where, even if the person was really great and the relationship ended on good terms, it's still kind of like a painful memory. It's still kind of like, I don't know, I think that weight, like, adds up. And so when I think about all of the relationships, even if they were good, it's still kind of painful for me to
really
think about it.
Huh, that's interesting. Have you, like, processed all of those emotions?
What do you mean? So, like, what do you mean I haven't processed them?
Because, like, that was a very painful experience that I've been through. But, you know, processing a lot of, like, reflection, why it happened, like, what good it brought to you. you just have to sit down with those emotions. And when you find peace, I feel like that's when you fully processed it.
Mm.
But I don't know.
But I guess everybody processes
stuff differently. I'm not at peace with those, like I said. Like, they ended really well. And
I think what you're saying is they kind of like all accumulated. And now thinking back to all of the failed relationships, you're like, oh, even though it ended on good terms, they just weigh you down? The weight of many failed relationships?
Well, I wouldn't say failed relationships.
What's the better word for it?
That's really harsh. It's like I'm a serial failed relationshipper. No.
We all are.
For me, it's like the reason why it weighs heavily on me is because, these are so many good memories. And now this person that I was so close to and had so many good memories with is a complete stranger that I'll never probably have a relationship with again.
Yeah.
You know, because these are people that were more than your best friends when you're dating them, right? And then suddenly, in a blink of an eye, they become someone that's less than a stranger.
Right.
So I guess that kind of weighs heavily on me. It's like all of these like deep relationships that I had are now just people that still do exist in the world. But
I get that. And I feel the same way, which is why, like, for me, when I break up with someone, I try really hard to be their friend.
Did it work?
Yeah, one of my like bestest friends, I dated him for 2 years, and like he's like my soulmate, like one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does feel like such a waste to like have spent so much time and like bonded with someone.
Yeah,
where you really know like their essence and their soul. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I think I think that is what makes it weigh very heavily on me.
No, I definitely think about that too. Like what you said, at one point you're like best friends with them. You share everything with them. And like Charlie mentioned, you know, at the end of the day, when you're away from your friends, when you're away from your circle, like work, whatever, and when you're home alone, or not even like home alone, but when you're alone, that person used to be the person you used to think about. Mm-hmm. That's your human, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think after ending any type of relationship, it would just feel so empty, because who do you, like, you text your friends pretty frequently, but for me, I text whoever I'm seeing the most. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then it's so crazy to me that like after you break up, it's like, wow, you're not allowed to talk to them anymore.
Yeah, like that is very, very sad.
It is so lonely. It's very lonely. But like, it's so weird. Like I did shrooms one time and this experience was like the most, like it was so enlightening.
Oh my God, I knew you were going to go there.
Oh my God. Should I get into this?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so this is like, it's like very sensory. So I'm like, just like, I'm sitting on this couch, but I don't see anything that's in front of me. There's just these like images going through my head. And there's this form, this very colorful form, like this orb of energy.
Blob.
And this blob is like going through different moments in the blob's life.
Oh, okay.
It's like flubber? Not that I can.
I'm imagining flubber.
It's not an actual blob. It's just like
it's
energy.
It's more like, oh, okay.
It's
just like
intuitively,
an energy ball.
Intuitively, you know it's like a being. So this being is just going through all these moments where I was brought through the moments this blob was experiencing. But like these moments of like such gratitude, pride, like all the good moments, but also like the horrible like sorrow, sadness, disappointment, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, I realized that I was the blob. Oh my God, it sounds so stupid. But anyways, I was the blob. And then this crazy thing happened where this blob divided into two. And then I realized I was the blob on the left and the blob on the right.
Whoa.
And that now that the way I look at myself after that experience is that I am one person. Yeah, I'm one person. But I'm like, I see myself as my best friend. And so sometimes I experience things and I like, you know, when you pep talk yourself?
Yeah.
It's like you're talking to yourself, but you're also like your best friend. Do you know what I mean?
No, I totally get what you mean.
I don't, that like I can't. Shin's
like, you fucking give yourself pep talk. I mean, I feel like everyone does.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but then like I started to change the vocabulary I use. So like instead of I'm eating by myself, I'm eating with myself. And like just those little like
changes,
shifts, like makes me feel so much less lonely. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not by my I'm not only by myself. I'm like,
you're not
with
by
yourself. I'm like,
you're
my
enjoying
own
your own
best
company.
Friend. Yeah, and like I can have conversations with myself and like, yeah, you know what I mean?
I do that. I'm one of those people that talk to myself a lot and out loud.
She's crazy.
Really weird. Yeah, honestly, people think I'm crazy.
Trying to imagine that. Yeah.
No, and it's like, I do it a lot, especially if I think I did something really stupid.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, gosh, mama, why the fuck did you do that? But like stuff like that. But also if I'm really happy, I don't know. I'm not crazy, but I kind of do that sometimes. And it's because I'm my own best friend, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, not some split personality shit. Don't
yeah,
give me that eye
like
shit.
Really
no, it's
empowering.
Some deeper shit. Like it's some problematic. Need therapy, drugs,
nah.
Shit.
Well, apparently I need shrooms so I can visualize my blob and
it's
my other
weird.
Blob.
I explained it in such a shitty way.
No, but
it does
I could
not
actually
justify
see
the
it.
Experience. But yeah, that was like, it was so empowering.
It's kind of like you visualized yourself
yeah,
for the first
like,
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah. deep.
That is yeah. deep. That's why you should all do shrooms, guys.
Yeah. That was the message. Of the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. This is where we were headed towards this entire time.
This was kind of the goal of our whole podcast is to advocate for shroom
so
legalization.
End right here, you guys. Just kidding.
Well, actually, we can kind of end off on one question that I'd like to ask you is, so based on all of the relationships and the experiences that you have, and also after this period of being single, what are you looking for and what are your hopes?
Holy fuck, that's a loaded question. What? Okay, what am I looking for? Oh my gosh. Love.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah, at the end of the day, just love.
And like, would you say that love is kind of open-ended at this point? Like it's
so open-ended. Like yeah. My definition of love is constantly changing. And I don't know what it's going to look like when I do find it. But now I'm so much more self-aware of like the characteristics that I bring to relationships and like mm-hmm. what I need from, you know, my partner.
That's so true. Because don't you learn, like you gain insights about
yeah.
who you are and what you need and what you bring to a relationship
yeah.
with each, I won't say failed relationship, but with each what?
Relationship that has ended.
That didn't yeah. work out. Yeah.
But I also don't look at it like that. Like every relationship that didn't work out is a success. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
And there shouldn't be just an emphasis on the last relationship that you have, that you mm-hmm. die with. Those are temporal, too, in time. Mm-hmm. Every relationship is temporal. Why do we place such an emphasis on the one that we died
our
having?
Final relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All these relationships were, like,
so are you saying
equally
that
as important.
Instead of finding our endgame relationship, we should just keep meeting people?
No, no.
I'm just joking.
No, but I actually don't. I mean, I talk mad trash about my first boyfriend that was like so terrible, but I actually am so thankful for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah.
So thankful. And I'm thankful for the next one. And I'm actually like, I tell my friends this all the time and they're like, hush mama, you talk about your exes too much. I don't really, but it's mostly because I draw so much
yeah.
insight.
And maybe that's why we are like, we have a tendency to date serially.
Yeah,
because
serially.
Not everybody gets those insights. Like, not everybody extracts that. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
You
because
know, awareness
they, because
from
it's
it.
Painful, all of them. Yeah, they don't even want to think about it. And
things.
Then they just.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm very aware of what
yeah.
the fuck is wrong with me. So I think that really helps.
Yeah.
Because it forces you to be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
I think I can help you with that list.
Hey. Hey.
I think we're going to have like a 2-hour talk about.
Why
Hush Mama is fucked
every
up.
opportunity to talk shit about me, but anyways,
I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I fucking love love. I love talking about
love,
like
yeah.
writing about love. I think about love every fucking day.
Hell
like,
yeah,
like love is the best. And when I'm in love, I'm my best self, honestly. Like maybe that's why love just comes. Like for me, being single takes a lot of energy. Like it takes, like I have to like fucking like, you know that meme where there's like words flying at you and you have
yeah.
to like,
oh,
like that's like me
away.
And love. Like love just comes and if I want to be single, I have to like push it away.
Damn,
otherwise, I'd be in another.
Love magnet Charlie here.
I don't know.
Boys,
I just
watch
love,
out.
It's not even like, it's like not even shallow love. It's always like
deep
love.
Aren't
it's
you scared so, though of being hurt?
Not anymore.
Or going through the sadness that comes after a relationship ends?
You know, I am not I'm not scared isn't the right word. I'm more so now disenchanted by the idea that I know that if it hurts, I can get over it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so
totally
disenchanted now.
I totally get what you mean. Because like, you've been through it a few times. Yeah. You're like, oh, I'll be okay.
And it's so easy to find. Yeah. And
oh my God, that's what I tell my friends all the time. I'm like, yeah. Girl, there are so many fish in the sea, actually.
And I hate that I think that way, though. Like, you know when like someone's
special? We're just
being
optimistic.
No, you know when like you're young and you find someone special? It's so mm-hmm. special. But now I find someone special and that is not special anymore.
Damn. It's what Beyonce said. It's like, you're not irreplaceable. I'm so bad at recalling lyrics. It's like, you think you're not replaceable, but you are. You know what I'm talking about?
I think I know what song you're talking about.
It's called Irreplaceable. Yeah. I'm just not recalling it correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways,
I also believe that there isn't this one person that I'm destined to be with for the rest of my life. I think there are multiple people that I could possibly be end up with for the rest of my life. But you shouldn't be hung over on one person.
What for sure Charlie said, you said one of your exes, one of your soulmates. So it's like, I also think we have multiple soulmates. Yeah. We just have to.
Yeah, and they're not all romantic. Like, now I'm recognizing platonic loves, and they are just as amazing.
Damn, you're so friend-zoning. Hushmama and Charlie, the friend-zone masters of the universe. That's just a really sweet way of saying, I've discovered friend-zoning, and it is awesome.
No, but you have, so far
from that, yeah.
I get that from a lot of people. People ask me, hey, how can guys and girls really be friends with such a deep connection? And I don't know how to explain that.
You can. Like, wait, you think you can't or you
can't?
No,
you can. Like, so I do. Like, like you said, I have platonic guy friends who I'm like, okay, we have this deep connection. I love you so much. But it's like purely from a friendship.
Yeah, and even that feels more pure. Platonic and, love feels more pure. I don't
know. And I bet the way you expressed it was like, I think our friendship is so important.
I do say that all the time.
Connection, this friendship.
I love how you're my wonderful friend and will always be my friend. I'm just kidding. But anyways, yeah, we went off on a tangent there. But yeah, I love that you love, Charlie. You go kick ass and spread your love beams all over Seoul.
Yeah, that should be our motto. Let's love.
Yeah.
Be brave.
Let's be brave.